football world. My name is Aldo Gandia, and I ask the questions, and the gentleman beside me, he answers them, and he answers them professionally because he's been in the professional football business for many, many decades, including a long stint as the scouting director for the Chicago Bears. Greg Gabriel, how are you?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing well.
I know you're on the ledge. You're ready to jump.
I am.
Well, I just want to know, do you got a big soft cushion there at the bottom, or are you going to land on concrete?
That depends on what you have to say today. So please save my life.
You want to die? Go ahead.
I don't want to die. I want to see another Super Bowl before I die. Let me tell you, last night on Bear Football, which is our show immediately after the game, I went through the stages of grief. You know, I started off anger, and then I went into denial. I said, maybe this team isn't as bad. But I woke up with kind of acceptance, accepting that maybe this team is not even a 500 team this season. What do you think?
Well, number one, in all honesty, did you really think they were going to win this game given the circumstances going into yesterday's game?
Nope.
Okay. So right off that, in fact, I had tweeted out, and then a bunch of people picked up on it, tweeted it out like it was their own. I said, you know, basically worst case scenario, Bears are still in first place. And this was, you know, before the Bears even played. This was right after the Green Bay game, you know, because the whole division had lost. So, you know, and I said, regardless of what happens tonight, you're going to wake up tomorrow and the Bears are in first place. So, you know, as I said last week, I did not expect the Bears to win this game. Part of it, you got a long trip, cross country, night game, and basically the opening of a new stadium. Yeah, they played there last year, but last year there was no fans. This year it was a packed house. And... you know, so that made the environment a lot different, very strong for the Rams, anti-Bear. It didn't seem like the, you know, when you see the Bears go on the road, often there's a ton of Bear fans there. That didn't seem like the case in L.A. yesterday. And I think part of it was people wanted to get in that stadium, see what it was like.
Yeah.
So, but... Stafford played better than usual, but at the same time, I mean, he had the two big throws. Those were blown coverages, totally blown coverages. Okay. And if there was a disappointing thing about yesterday, and I'll get to the offense in a little while, the disappointing thing to me was the play of the defense. You know, they held up against the run pretty good early on, and then second half, the Rams were able to run the ball, but the two blown coverages causing two huge explosive plays for touchdowns, that took the Bears right out of the game. Now, you know, you can make this use. I tweeted out last night that non-call on the interference call on A-Rob. That cost them a first down, cost them at least 3 points and maybe 7 points in that drive because of the non-call. Could that have changed things? Maybe a little, but you can't have a breakdown like that in coverage like they had, and they didn't have it once, they had it twice. And what I don't know, and I've watched it over, is the first one I'm positive was the safeties. I mean, they're both that, and I think Eddie Jackson just got totally beat. He was supposed to have the deep coverage there. The second one I'm unsure about. If you watch the play, Marquis Christian is on the slot guy, and he passes him off to a safety as if there's supposed to be deep end coverage from the safety. Well, there's nobody there. So who blew the coverage? Was it Christian who blew it, you know, close up in here, or was it down the field? See, if you watch when they show the end zone view of it, and I don't know, I'm watching it as you got it on there. I don't know if you got it.
See, no, I don't. I'm sorry.
He kind of stopped. They showed it you know, on one of the replays. Mm-hmm. And he kind of stops running as if he's expecting one of the safeties to pick this guy up deep. So somebody was wrong. Either he was wrong or the safeties were wrong. Regardless, that shouldn't happen. Okay, the mistakes like that, you see what happens when you make a mistake like that. Mistakes like that cost you points right off the bat. Now, let's go to Nagy's press conference an hour ago. And, you know, he's not going to throw anybody under the bus. Never does, and he never will. He'll get them in the meeting room. But one of the writers asked, you know, we can expect any changes. And my way of hearing his answer was, you know, he didn't say, well, we'll discuss, you know, he kind of said, we'll discuss this during the week and then, you know, determine that during practice. Just the way he answered it tells me there might be some changes on the back end this week because of that.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. And he did say a lot depends on matchups, you know, every, you know, sometimes you want to go blah, blah, blah. So he did kind of set the stage that perhaps there will be changes. Yeah.
Now, again, a coach would have to say who blew the coverage on that one play. Mm-hmm. And they'd know right away because they know what the responsibilities are. And from, you know, the angles I had, I couldn't tell. I suspect that it was safeties on both TDs, but I may be wrong on the second one.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about what Ryan Badgley is saying here? Mike Vrabel called out one of his stars after the Tennessee game last night, but Nagy did not. Do you think, what's your philosophy on those kinds of things? Do you think a coach should publicly admonish a player if that player does badly?
I've always been against that. And, you know, any coach that I've worked with, and the best being Bill Parcells, and I've worked with some pretty good ones, Dan Reeves, Bill Parcells, Tom Coughlin, you know, damn good coaches. None of those guys will throw their players under the bus in a public setting. They'll make a change during the week. Now, in the meeting room, they'll rip them a new one. You know, but that's a different, you know, you expect that in the meeting room. You know, you screw up, you expect to get yelled at. And it's a performance-based game. You don't play well, you're either gone or you get replaced. And, you know, a situation like that, you know, that was costly. And then the other costly thing was, you know, the turnover on the opening drive, but the big play there wasn't really the turnover. It was Cole Kmet's illegal procedure. Changed the whole situation. You had a second and two from the two, and now you got from the seven, and a change. It gives your defense more room for coverage. Changes your play call scenario, you know, and so what they wanted to do to what they had to do, and then they get into a third and long, and he throws the ball, gets tipped, and the ball gets intercepted. Mm-hmm. You know, you know, Nagy said, somebody said it looked like the ball wasn't going to make it anyway, and Matt came back and he said that, you know, it was tipped, so you can't really tell.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, and I tend to agree with that. But still, you got to come out of a situation like that with at least 3 points, mm-hmm. especially when you're on the road. And it's unfortunate, but I'm not putting the blame on Andy Dalton there. I'm putting the blame on Cole Kmet.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's stay with the subject of Sean Desai, and then I want to talk about Eddie Jackson, because everybody in the chat room has got the torches and pitchforks out for both of these guys. So let's start with Sean Desai. This was Nagy defending Desai, who called his first NFL game. This was Nagy this morning, this afternoon,
about an hour ago,
defending his defensive coordinator. And the image is frozen here. I had some technical problems, but the audio is crisp.
And that's something that I have a lot of faith in Sean and our players in understanding that you go up against a potent offense and a pretty good team like the Rams. You better know, you know, what you're doing on every single play. And Sean's, you know, we got together this morning as a staff and we were, you know, we watched the film and went through different scenarios of the game. And there's some calls when you look through it, just like us as play callers, as everybody, you know, there's some that you want back and that you put on yourself. And then there's others too, where you're like, you know what, this guy could have made a play here or there. And then there's some plays where, like that fourth and one that they had a fourth and one, the bootleg to the right. Matthew made a great throw. It was a great catch. So there's sometimes they're just going to make plays. But overall, I'd say the biggest theme for us would be no panic and just understand that, hey, this was Sean's first game calling and this was our first game of 2021. And we understand that that's not good enough. We know we want to be better.
Greg, I don't have a problem with anything he said there. Every coach has had to have mistakes during their play calling a lifetime. And it wasn't a great debut for Sean Desai, but I don't think that he should be hung at the stakes. What do you think?
Well, he said a bunch of things there. And if you listen to it carefully, and now it's like the second time I heard it now, because I heard it live. And very nicely, he was pointing his finger at the players, but he also... And he was doing it to himself, too. Hey, you know, because he was speaking more in generalities. Mm-hmm. He didn't always have the right call for that particular situation. Meaning, were you in the right defense? Did you have the right play called for you know, on offense, et cetera? So he put a blame on all three. And he said, and the way he did that is what he said when we were meeting going over the film as a group. And... But again, you know, we've been around him long enough to know that in a public setting like that, he's going to be calm. He's not going to throw anybody under the bus. And he's going to say, you know, we're going to work on it and we're going to get better. Now, let's look at some of the positives. What was all the talk during the preseason and, you know, leading up to last night that the offensive line was going to suck? You know, my opinion... And they went through three left tackles in that game. The offensive line wasn't all that bad. That's a damn good defense they played against. Okay. Okay. Now, I had this thought in the back of my mind, you know, all week. Yeah, it was the number one defense in the NFL last year against, you know, in yardage and points, but it's a different coordinator. And you know, is that going to make a big difference? You know, Raheem called his own game. He had the same players. But I think, you know, until the end of the game, you know, as far as handling Aaron Donald, it reminded me of 2 years ago when the Bears beat the Rams on a Sunday night game in Chicago where Donald didn't make a play. Well, they did a pretty good job blocking Aaron Donald. You know, it wasn't, he doesn't get a sack until the last offensive play of the game.
Right.
And he gets a pressure the series before that. But, you know, up until then, you know, he's a factor in that you got to know where he is and it takes some things. But all told, the pass blocking, what I thought it was going to be worse, put it that way. I wasn't sure how the Rams are tough to run against. Mm-hmm. Hey, the running game was pretty good yesterday. So there are some positive things. Mm-hmm. Now we don't know, and he mentioned in the presser, you know, we're going through that now as far as I think somebody asked, you know, who's out, who's going to play, and, you know, and he said, well, we're going through that now. We'll have a better idea tomorrow. You know, did the big tackle have a pull quad or just a bruised quad?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Borum is he's going to be out a while. That was an ankle sprain. The guy got rolled up on. You know that he's going to be out a while. So who's going to be playing left tackle this week? You know, and that's, you know, wouldn't shock me that. they bring somebody in during the week.
Yeah, I think they have to at the very least for depth purposes, because outside of Elijah Wilkinson, who was the third left tackle in the game, they really don't have anyone else.
Well, they got Simmons. They got Simmons, who actually played pretty good, but he has never played on the left side.
Right.
Did in college, but he's never done it.
Right. And Alex Bars has played a little left tackle too.
Right. Right.
So there is that. Now let me get back to the press conference here, because I thought this was an interesting exchange between Mark Potash, a friend of the bar room, and he's always asking the tough questions to Matt Nagy. They had an exchange regarding the lack of tackling on the touchdown pass and so forth. I just took a snippet of this, and I include Mark's question. Here it comes.
This weekend.
The play where, like, both Gibson and Eddie Jackson failed to touch Jefferson on the ground. I know you call that, like, a learning lesson, but to a lot of people, that's an inexcusable mistake that anybody in high school knows an NFL player instinctively should do. And I guess the question is, I mean, that seems like a systemic or just an issue from the top that you know, maybe what he's teaching they're not quite getting. So what kind of a problem is that to you when you see something like that?
I don't. I know everybody has their own opinions, and I respect that. I wouldn't agree with that in regards to starting with Sean or you know, I think that's a learning experience, like I said yesterday, to where when that happens, you know, they both tried to, like, nonchalantly tag him. You know what I mean? So it was like, it just, you got to do it more aggressively.
Greg, help me understand why this isn't a coach's problem, because the coaches tell the players, but if the players don't respond, perhaps the coaches aren't being effective.
To me, that plays all on the, it has nothing to do with coaching. It has everything to do with the player and awareness. You know, let's watch this here first before I comment.
There it is. I mean, very nonchalant.
Hey, look, it looked like Jackson nonchalantly tried to touch him with his right hand. The other one's Gibson. He didn't even try. So, you know, how you'd have to see another angle to see how close Jackson was. But to me, that's on the player. That's laziness on the player's part for not his, a different angle. Hell, his hand isn't within 2 feet. Mm-hmm. It's. You learn that growing up playing football, you got to touch the guy, you know, and you know that those guys aren't rookies. Gibson's been in the league a long time. Jackson's been in the league a long time. Jackson's been a Pro Bowl. Knows you got to touch the guy. That total mental mistake, and just like it was a mental mistake on the play to begin with, you know, you had a blown coverage. So.
Yes, indeed.
In the meeting room, somebody's got to be taken to task. Now, you know, I get what Potash wants. He wants Nagy to publicly blow up at somebody. It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you might as well forget about it, because it's always going to be done privately. You start doing it publicly, and Vrabel played in the league, and he might be able to get away with it because he played a long time in the league. But a lot of times you start doing that publicly, you're going to lose your players.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. No doubt about it.
The players are going to come back and F you.
Right, right. And so you, as the coach, say F you to the player in private. you don't hang them up.
Absolutely. Right,
I totally agree with that. But Mark has to ask the question, because it does seem like it's a systemic problem. And it's been going on for years with the Chicago Bears.
I've never seen a play like that. That was lazy. I've never seen a play like that where they didn't touch a guy.
All right. Well, the reason I say that it's been a problem for years, it's the ball is on the ground against the Green Bay Packers in a pivotal game, and Lance Briggs and other people are just looking and not playing to the whistle. And it just seems like so it's just not this coaching staff. It seems like for years there's been problems with players playing to the whistle. I grew up watching Dick Butkus. He played well after the whistle. And so when I see some of that, this effort from current Bears, it's embarrassing as a Chicago Bears fan. It's hard to excuse that.
No, I'm not going to disagree with that, in that you want supreme effort for 60 minutes from every guy on the team. Okay. And an aggressive attitude. You want to play within the rules. You don't want to cheap shot people. But, you know, I mean, if one of those two guys would have jumped on that receiver, there would not have been a penalty.
Mm-hmm.
Because he could get up.
Right.
You know, right. So, you know, wouldn't have been a cheap shot or anything like that. But, yeah, that part I agree with. I think that's inexcusable. I don't know if it's a finable offense. When you make a bonehead play like that,
right?
But it should be.
Well, and to Nagy's credit, he did say at the press conference that not only should you touch him, just like you said, you should hit him. You should hit that player because he.
Well,
he
that's what I said. You can jump
on. Yeah, exactly. So, what about this play, Eddie Jackson's attempt at a tackle?
Yeah, that was. Well, go back a little bit. Okay. He takes a bad angle right from the start. He's taking a bad angle.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've talked about that a lot, you know, so far this year. You got to take good angles in pursuit. If you don't, that's going to happen. You know, the ball carrier is going to make you look like a total idiot.
And it was a third down and 13. So it's an opportunity to get the ball back, but instead.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a heartbreaking play. And Eddie Jackson, I said this yesterday on Bear Football, he says all the right things off the field. He seems like a team leader and so forth. But there just seems to be, over the last few years, a lack of aggression. There's a videotape on the Bears YouTube channel of Eddie Jackson saying to his teammates, anybody can tackle. It's creating turnovers. That's the hard thing to do. And so that just leads me to think that he's not interested in tackling. He's interested in creating turnovers because that's how he got his rep in 2018 with all those.
Well, I mean, there's something to that. He's looking for the big play. But, you know how you make big plays? You make a lot of small plays first.
Thank you.
And the big plays come. You know, so, you know, as a whole – the biggest disappointment in this game to me was not the offense. It was the defense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only thing, the offense, the way I watched that game and, you know, one of the questions that they added all the speed at the wide receiver position, yet they didn't take one shot downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall a shot? I don't recall a deep ball.
Yeah, I was critical of the fact that Andy Dalton, I've got the stat up here. Let me call it up. He did not complete a pass over 10 yards at all last night.
They didn't throw any.
Exactly.
Okay, you can't complete it unless you throw it. So what tells me here, this is to me what was going on. The game plan was to try to, you know, they had that one drive in the second half was what, 9 minutes long or something like that?
Yes.
The game plan was that.
Mm-hmm.
Move the ball, move the chains, short passes. Part of it, you know, was they didn't know what they were going to have in the offensive line, so we got to get quick passes off. And Chris Collinsworth is not going to say a bad thing about Andy Dalton. They're bros.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
All Cincinnati guys. But – you know, he gave out the stat that, you know, the amount of time it was taking Andy Dalton to get the ball out of his hand.
2.1 second, like a record time.
Yeah. I mean, you never – when's the last time you saw a Bear quarterback get the ball out of his hands that quick?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so a part of that, I think, was to help the offensive line. We're going to go with the run game. We're going to go with these quick passes. And – I think they needed to take a shot. Now, maybe when they brought in Justin, I thought maybe that's what they're going to do with Justin
is yeah, take me a too. Shot,
right. You know, but they didn't. So, and Nagy admitted that had the score been a little different, Justin would have played more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because he, I we talked about it last week. He had a package, probably had 10, 12 plays in his book that, excuse me, situations that he was going to be used in. Good experience for him. But, you know, going back, people say, well, he should have played. Well, you know, I watched some of those games yesterday, and Trevor Lawrence threw three interceptions. Okay. Wilson stunk. Yeah, he had a nice one, nice throw, but for the most part, he stunk. The only guy that played good was Mac Jones, and they lost. You know, and I think Trey Lance threw just one pass, and that was a touchdown, 5 yards, and you know Justin Fields ran for a touchdown, so they're even. But you know, the reason they're not playing was evident with Wilson and Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ready to play. They haven't seen some of these things. Now, I cannot believe at this time that Justin Fields can get the ball out of his hand as quickly as Andy did.
Yes, that's a fact. That's a fact. One of the things that he has been criticized for is that he holds on to the ball for a long time. Now, his belief.
That's what the game plan. Yeah. Right. Now, and part of it is he has a longer release. You know, we talked about that. He goes like that. You know, and Andy gets it and throws it. The only guy who was quicker is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers got the quickest release I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's awesome.
So it's, you know, I get it. He's going to be the starter before the season's out.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be next week. You know, maybe it's the week after. Who knows? We'll see.
At Cleveland, we'll see. But back to the defense, Matt Stafford was 8 out of 8 on play action for 155 yards and 2 touchdowns. Does a stat like that say anything to you about the Bears defense and the fact that they were suckered on play action every single time?
Well, it tells me that they blew coverages. Come on, you had over 100 yards. You had 130 yards on those 2 touchdowns or something.
Yeah, right. Indeed. And then so, the other thing that was interesting is Daryl Henderson gained 5 yards on 8 of his 16 carries. I mean, half the time he carried the ball, he went for plus 5 yards. Now, a lot of that was in the second half when the defense was just defeated and deflated. But that is a concerning stat, too, because we saw last year that the Bears' run defense was not as effective as we've seen in the past.
Well, yeah, and part of that's not having Eddie.
Well, that's right.
You know, on some of those base downs, he's gonna be in there, and you know, that's going to change. Now,
hopefully. You know,
this week, I mean, the big thing is who's going to line up on the offensive line? Who's going to be your left tackle? Mm-hmm. Is Peters going to be the left tackle, or is he out for a week or two? And then you got to put Wilkinson in there. And he wasn't bad.
Mm-hmm. He wasn't.
But I'll tell you, the guy who impressed me and then he gets hurt was Borum.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he played well. And in fact, it wouldn't shock me that going forward that he's stays at left and Tevin gets put on the right side.
I know you don't like to comment on play calling, but there's a lot of criticism of Nagy's play calling for like since last season and maybe beyond that. But what do you think? What can you tell us your opinion about the play calling in last night's game?
Yeah, the only complaint I got, if you want to call it a complaint, is that they didn't take a couple shots to try to loosen up. And they got the speed. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason they didn't do it, that we already talked about,
right.
They're trying to protect the quarterback and get the ball out of his hands. So they went in thinking that. I don't think it was in the game plan to throw deep. Now, I'll say this. When you're putting together your game plan for the week, it's not Matt Nagy's game plan. That's the whole offensive coaches put that together. You know, Lazor's involved in that. Castillo's involved with that. Tight end coach is involved with that. The receiver coach is involved. They've all got input on what they're going to do because they're all the receivers coach is studying the defensive backs. You know, line coach is studying the line and the linebackers, and they're all seeing what they, you know, think can be done and what can't be done. And you know, being that it was opening day, you know, you had to go back to where Raheem Morris was previously coaching to see how he called defenses. And that's a few years ago when he was doing that, you know. So, you know, it makes it very, very difficult unless he was going to do it, because you can't trust that he's going to do everything the way Brandon Staley did.
Right. What do you think of the fourth down plays? The Bears went for it on 3 fourth down plays. Two of them were fourth and four. One resulted in a fumble, and the other one was fourth down and 15. Your thoughts?
I would have kicked it on the fourth and 15. I get why, and he explained that in the press conference. You know, he was saying, hey, if we don't get the first down, we're out of it anyway. You know, so he was trying to be aggressive. I can't blame him for that. I mean, he saw the defense wasn't playing worth a damn. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, the others, hey, the plays didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so if they work, you love them. If they don't work, it's a bad play call. That doesn't always work that way. You know, go to the execution thing. It's all about executing the play.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned Eddie Goldman. His absence yesterday was significant. And what do you think
More in the second half than the first.
Right, which is typical for Eddie Goldman. He sees most of his snaps in the second half when a team is ahead, because they're going to be running the ball and you need Goldman in there. Well, what do you think about Danny Trevathan's absence and Alec Ogletree's taking his place on the defense?
Yeah, Ogletree's a good player. You know, I remember when Ogletree came into the league and was playing for the Rams, and he looked like a steal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, guy was a hell of a football player. Yep. And I don't know why he fell off the face of the map like his third year, fourth year in the league, because he started out like gangbusters. Played good in the preseason. He made some plays yesterday. He's got more speed, more range than Danny has. He had a penalty. I don't know if that was really a penalty.
Didn't look like it to me. At least the camera angles didn't catch
anything. I mean, they were mouthing. Obviously, there's some jawing, but you got jawing every play.
Right.
You know, they called it taunting. You know, unless you can hear what they're saying, who knows?
Yeah, they're apparently the NFL is cracking down on taunting this season. They just want to ensure that things aren't going to get out of hand. So he may have said something that the referees were instructed by the league office to call.
Yeah, but here's the thing with that. You have those things in the preseason as a, quote, point of emphasis.
Mm-hmm.
So they call a bunch of them in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
so the players know it. But then once the season starts, it's very rare that you see one of those point of emphasis penalties called.
Right. All right. Everybody is talking also about Khalil Mack. It just seems like he's not making the explosive plays that one of the highest paid NFL defenders should be making. Your evaluation of Mack after last night's game?
Yeah, well, they go into that any game, and you're putting at least two guys on him all the time, especially in pass rush situations. And I think he's reached a point in his career where he can't handle two guys on a play in and play out basis.
Right.
You know, your body starts to break down. Now, I don't know if they awarded it to him, but I thought Quinn should have got a half sack on that one sack.
He did officially get that. Yeah.
Okay. Because I tweeted that right away. I said he should get a half because they met at the exact same time.
Absolutely. I saw that too. Yeah.
They got some pressure on Stafford, but not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a veteran offensive line there. Those guys have been playing together for a while. Two tackles have been there forever. You know, Whitworth is 2 months older than Peters is. and haven't seen the other tackle. What's he, about 7 or 8 years as a starter for the Rams? Mm-hmm. You know, on the right side, the guards have been playing a while. That's a very, very solid line. And, you know, I'm not a Stafford fan, but he played good in that game. But he also showed what he can't do. And when you try to get him to make plays with his feet, he's struggling. Well, he made a good throw on the one rollout, but, you know, overall, I mean, you know, he looks like a slow guy trying to roll out.
Yeah, let me let's see this play again where he rolls out to his left to throw that touchdown pass. I think I've got the end zone camera look coming up here. Because I wondered why there wasn't any contain going on here. So, yeah, this is him. He's going to roll out to his left. It's bootleg, and it is Robert Quinn standing up on the left side of your screen. So he goes inside. The entire line goes inside, allowing Stafford plenty of time, and there he goes.
Yeah, there was no contain, and, you know, playing it back now, you can say, okay, he should have been coming, you know, like straight up and in.
Right.
Okay. Right. And instead of slanting and you know, it was a good play call. The motion of the offensive line was that the play was going to the offensive right side. Mm-hmm. He flowed with that. He got fooled. That's why you have plays like that.
Right.
He got fooled. And you know, it was a good play for the defense called.
Dan Orlovsky over at ESPN this morning on the Get Up show said that at this point, Stafford gets his shoulders parallel to the line of scrimmage, which holds the deep safety, thinking that it's going to be a sideline pass to the left on your screen. And then he quickly adjusts his throw because right at the time that the receiver makes the cut to the right side, and that's what froze Eddie Jackson, for whatever that's worth.
can you play that back? Let me.
Sure. Here it comes. End zone view, courtesy of NBC Network and NFL. We're not making money out of this, guys. So don't steal us. don't punish us. All right, here it is. Tell me when to stop when you want.
No, you're not going to have to stop. I'm just watching. I'm not buying that. That's blown coverage, period.
Period.
You know, he's a former Orlovsky's a former Detroit Lion quarterback. He's standing up for his boy.
I saw that you tweeted yesterday the Detroit Lions are who we thought they are, but then they made a comeback and they fell short.
Yeah, they did. They stunk early. Then you see how they made the comeback. I saw the highlights after.
Yes.
That was, you know, they had an onside kick that was blown. You know, just awful. Awful play on the 49ers part.
Yes. The 49ers definitely started to relax late in that game because they had that game in hand. It's typically a very well-coached team, but they had their problems in that second half. They clearly relaxed too much on Detroit. All right, let's talk about some of the other action that you saw. First, in the NFL, I know because you're from the Buffalo area, you've got family out there, that you took a look at that Steelers-Buffalo Bills game, which I thought was a fascinating football game. What the Steelers defense did to Buffalo was unbelievable.
Well, number one, the Steelers, in my mind, have been the best organization of football forever. You know, Kevin Colbert's a good friend of mine, and I got a ton of respect for Kevin as a GM. But you look, they've only had like two GMs in their history. You know, three head coaches in the last 100 years or something? You know, they stay with people. They got a good system. You know, I was thinking when I was working with Philly as a consultant, Philly opened up against Pittsburgh in a preseason game. And because it was the summer, Philly was wearing white and Pittsburgh's in that gold and black. And they just look big and mean. And that thing, you know, no matter how big they really are, they look bigger and meaner.
I totally agree.
That's a tough physical football team. Opening game, I think if they played, you know, 10 times, Buffalo's probably going to win seven of them. Mm-hmm. But to me, Buffalo and you know, I can be critical too. I think they guilty of reading their own press clippings. You know, we're going to the Super Bowl. Yeah, well, guess what? You've got to beat good football teams to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, Josh Allen he didn't miss anything last year. He threw 70%, was thrown downfield all the time with great accuracy. He was off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, for whatever reason, now, you know, they got to come back. I expect them, you know, last year they had Arizona beaten, and then Arizona had that Hail Mary play on the last play of the game to beat them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they came, they never lost after that until the playoffs.
Right.
I expect the same thing to happen starting next week.
Yeah, that team is just stacked with talent, and they have good coaching, although I thought that their coaching against the Steelers was suspect that time with play calling and so forth. But
you know, McDermott and Tomlin are bros. They played in college together.
I did not know that.
They were teammates at William & Mary.
Greg is so unhappy with the Bears. He says, I want to put a paper bag over my head, but then I settle for plastic. Don't do it, Greg. Please don't do it. Okay. People in the chat room want to know your evaluation on the Green Bay Packers.
Boy, do they stink.
We thought the Bears stunk. No.
Green Bay was awful.
Yeah, that was awful.
I mean, they didn't even show up. Now, I had a feeling, and I had read something about something. Somebody wrote it earlier in the week, and I started thinking about it, and it made a lot of sense. Even though the game was not a, quote, home game, and actually it seemed like there's more Green Bay people there than there were New Orleans people.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it seemed like there's a boatload of Green Bay people. Who knows what the hell the ticket cost was, you know, because the game was only moved, what, 10 days ago?
Right.
But
right.
You're playing in the dome, you're in an air-conditioned situation. Okay, now you got a team in Green Bay, and it's not, you know, we've had a hot summer, and Green Bay's only 2 hours north of where we are, 2.5 hours, but it's been fairly hot up there too. But still, not as hot as it was, and humid, mm-hmm. as it was in Jacksonville. And, what I read during the week was that was going to have a bigger effect on Green Bay than it was they had played it on the Saints, and then if they had to play in the dome. And early on in the game, Sean Payton's game plan was run the ball, run clock. Mm-hmm. He wore their ass out. They had no gas in the tank in the second half at all. You know, Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers looked like he didn't want to play football.
Yeah.
He looked like he's ready to take over Jeopardy again or something.
That's right. Do you think that was an argument, his performance or lack of performance, an argument for playing these guys in preseason games? Tom Brady plays preseason. Why shouldn't Aaron Rodgers and everyone else who's, you know, I was upset that Andy Dalton didn't at least get a first quarter in that third preseason game. Do you think these guys should play more in preseason?
Yeah. Hell, when I started with the Giants, we were playing 6 preseason games.
I recall that.
Okay. So, and this is a true story now. So the year we go to the Super Bowl, we lose in 85 regular season. So it's playoffs or the 84 regular season, 85 playoffs. You have the 85 Bears team. And or did I have that wrong? 85 season. Yeah, mm-hmm. And you have the 85 Bears team. They kick our ass in the playoffs. And the next year, we got 6 preseason games. In the 6 preseason game, the starters played 3 quarters.
Wow.
And Bill was given, I think Joe Morris, you have to go back and look at this, the stats, but I'm listening to the game on the radio because I'm on the road and I was able to, you know, somewhere where I could pick up the radio station that had the Giants thing, and I'm listening to it. I'm screaming at the radio, get those guys out of there. And he's handing the ball off to Joe Morris. Joe Morris is our little 5'7" running back, but you know, he's about this big. And yeah, Joe must have had 20 carries in that game. You know, well, you know, we won a Super Bowl.
I think, you know, I was for this theory of resting your starters and so forth. It's new NFL. It's a longer regular season. But now I'm kind of ping-ponging back the other way and thinking these guys need more time. Usually teams that don't start their starters in preseason get off to slow starts. And I think that's what's going on here with the Green Bay Packers. Plus, the loss of David Bakhtiari, their left tackle, that's significant in and of itself just for Aaron Rodgers' mentality. He loves that guy. He loves all of his offensive linemen. He lost his starting center, Corey Linsley, to free agent. Now he's lost his left tackle for the first six games at least of the season. And that affects Aaron Rodgers' very fragile sensibilities.
Well, you know, I lost a lot of respect for Aaron Rodgers during this offseason. I thought he was acting like a two-year-old. I'm not, being that I'm a former front office guy, I don't agree at all that, the quarterback should have a say in what's going on. Bullshit. If he wants to come in and do all the work, then let him have a say. But until he sits down and does all the work, he doesn't get a say because he doesn't know. If he wants to give an opinion, okay, let him give an opinion. Then let it go in one ear and out the other. But, you know, that when he starts studying other teams and studying draft prospects and spending 60 hours a week doing that, then he can have a say.
Because then he
knows what he's talking about.
Right.
Right now he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. He just wants to be catered to.
Right. I do believe that Tom Brady has earned the right to, at the very least, say, this is what I want. Not who I want, but this is what I want in terms of position, or we need to improve here, to have that kind of dialogue. And because not only has Tom Brady been a winner, but he has taken substantial pay cuts or forfeited salary so that he can have a winning team around him. And I think he gets credit. He should get credit for that.
Well, he should, but he's not the big breadwinner in that household.
Lucky guy. Yeah. Wait a minute, same thing here.
much money as he makes, he makes a pittance compared to what his wife makes.
Ah, that's awesome. Oh, okay. Notre Dame, you were there at the game. I watched it on that stupid streaming service Peacock, where it had all sorts.
One of the reasons I was glad I went to the game, because I was not going to give them $5.
Oh my gosh, that thing is awful. But hopefully they'll make improvements if they're going to continue to show.
Well, they're not. It's going back to that was the one time. That was to get people to subscribe.
Ah, well, they failed at that. They really did. Tell me what you saw there at Notre Dame Stadium.
You know how you can rise or lower yourself to the level of comp? They played to the level of comp. You know, Notre Dame's offensive line has not played well. I think unfairly, the offensive line coach, who I know is you know, from fans, is getting a lot of heat, but they don't know what the hell they're talking about. They got four new starters along the line.
Wow.
A lot of them. And then, you know, they had a true freshman starting at left tackle. He got hurt at the beginning of the third quarter a week ago. So now they're on their – you know, it's like the Bears. They're on actually in the second half, Saturday, they were on their third left tackle of the season already.
I didn't realize that. Wow.
Yeah, because Fisher was the freshman who's actually might be one of their best linemen, and he's a true freshman. He's a gigantic man. And then he gets hurt. They put this guy named Carmody in. Carmody isn't a left tackle. And he gets beaten like a drum, and he gets hurt too, twists his ankle or something. So then they put in this other guy, Tosh Baker, who was recruited to play left tackle, but he doesn't have the niftiness to play left tackle. He's a right tackle or a guard. So they're, you know, that's struggling. And the quarterback they have, who was used to be at Wisconsin, Cone, where he's a good passer, he's an accurate passer, he makes a statue look mobile. You know, he does not scare anybody with his feet. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you noticed, they put in the freshman quarterback, Buckner, and he right away was able to do some things with his feet because of the differences in athleticism. Yep. So I think it's a transitional season for Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. You have to have a quarterback, an offensive line, and a defensive line. I don't think they have an offensive line because I think if I were them, and I'm not the coach, so my opinion means dirt, but there's a couple other freshmen I'd be playing now and who are probably better players. And coaches as a whole, especially line coaches, they love experience. And they look at it because of the mental part. Well, this guy's been around for 3 years. He's not going to make any mental mistakes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he's going to get beat. Well, the other guy's got the young kid is a better, got more talent. And you can come back and say the same thing about Justin Fields, but it's not a quarterback. We're talking offensive line. The other guys, they might make a mental mistake here and there, but their aggressiveness and their athleticism are going to carry them through the course of the game.
Well, I love Notre Dame football, have for a long, long time. I hope that they can win more games than they lose. But
I think they're going to win more games than they lose. But I think, you know, it's I'll tell you, they got to play Purdue this week. And Purdue's got a defensive end that has the ability to be a premium round draft choice. Mm-hmm. He's going to give them problems.
Will you be out? Will you be out to that game or any games this weekend?
I'm going to see Notre Dame in the next 3 weeks.
Oh, excellent.
A week from now, they're at Soldier Field against Wisconsin. So I'll be at that.
Wow, sounds like that's the what weekend is that? That's the 25th.
Yeah, whatever that Saturday is.
Yeah. Oh, too bad. I'm going to be at the Cleveland game. Am I
going to
be?
Oh, you're going to Cleveland? Yeah, but the Cleveland game is not till Sunday night.
The Bears in Cleveland are a Sunday night game?
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I didn't realize it either. I looked the other day. There two out of – I hate the night games, too. Two out of the first three games are Sunday night.
Mm. All right. I want to conclude our episode here of Greg Gabriel Talks Football by – I know you didn't get a chance to see the Vikings and Bengals game, but – I have been of the opinion that the Vikings defense is far from what it was 3 years ago. In fact, I put up a stat on the at Barroom Network Twitter account where the yards per game has gotten worse by 50 yards the last three seasons. So when the Bengals, Joe Burrow gets 260 yards passing, two touchdowns, and Joe Mixon gets 127 yards rushing, those guys are good. Burrow is going to be a top quarterback in this game, and Mixon, we already know his capabilities, but I think that has a lot to do with a faulty Vikings defense. So what's your overall impression about the Bears, Cincinnati at Soldier Field this Sunday?
Well, I watched maybe 5 minutes of that game. And actually, I watched the overtime, you know, maybe a couple plays during the game before that, but Vikings don't do anything for me at all. They're a very undisciplined football team. Kirk Cousins is a guy. Yeah.
That's a good quote.
I saw a tweet somebody put out. It might've been Eric at home. Mm-hmm. They're like a couple minutes into the game, and Vikings already had four penalties.
Yeah, it was atrocious. I saw that.
You know, so you know, how do you expect to win games like that?
Yep. And I have a lot of respect for Coach Mike Zimmer. I think he's an excellent defensive mind. But it just seems to me like he's lost control. I mean, I don't understand why these guys, these tough disciplinary coaches, lose the discipline of the team. For Mike Zimmer to lose, to have a team that is committing penalties, stupid penalties like that, it's just beyond me. I don't get it.
Well, it could be a couple reasons, and I might be throwing a dart at the wall here. Mm-hmm. The tough, hard guy thing can wear on you after a while, so then the players aren't listening to it. And then, you know, subconsciously the players can say, you know what, it's time for a change. Mm. You know, and they just don't play as good. The guy gets fired, then they, you know, they play a little harder then because they got a new guy, new sheriff in town, and they want to make the team.
Fascinating.
But I would think that, and you know, Spielman is a friend of mine. I've known him since he came in the league. I would think both him and Zimmer are in trouble if they don't win this year.
Yeah.
And from what I saw yesterday, they ain't going to win.
They've got some issues. And hopefully the Chicago Bears can take advantage of the Vikings in the two upcoming games later this season, take advantage of that weak Detroit Lions team. Don't be fooled by their comeback. And take advantage of the two games they'll have against the Green Bay Packers, a team that looked truly pathetic. They may have been the worst team on football yesterday, Sunday. The worst performance.
Yesterday they were. You know, and you asked me about it, you know, and over Twitter yesterday. You know, they got rid of Mike Pettine, who was a above average defensive coordinator in the league, and they won with him coordinating.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And they bring in a new guy, and Peyton just took him to the woodshed.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that you brought up Mike Pettine's name, because this will be the last topic. I promise I won't let you go. Mike, it was prolific at Green Bay with creating exotic blitzes. I don't think.
Right.
There weren't any exotic blitzes last night. And now it's Sean Desai's defense. So maybe he's part of the problem, but I didn't, you know, perhaps it was smart not to blitz Stafford given the talent that the Rams have, but I'm hoping that we'll see some of those exotic blitzes because the Bears' four-man rush to the quarterback is just not getting it done.
No, I think it has to do more with, we're really going to get burnt. They had blown. You're not expecting to have blown coverages like they had. But then, you know, you're thinking, okay, we're going to play safe and we're going to be in coverage and we're not going to give up the big play. Mm-hmm. So in order to do that, we can't blitz.
There you go.
That's your mindset going into the game. You make it a determination, you know, before the game during the week to do that. So, You'd have to get that from a coach to verify it, but that was my take.
Right. Makes sense to me, as you always do, Greg Gabriel. Again, learning a lot about the game of football and getting all that inside information for you. Lots of people in the chat room are thanking you, Greg. I am thanking you. I'm going to let you go.
They're not cursing me and MFing me or anything?
No, they're cursing Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace.
They always do.
That's right. A big win against the Cincinnati Bengals, and you'll see that tone change.
But here's
an example of what's going on in the chat room. Fire Nagy and Pace, this is such a show.
It's not going to happen. So,
no.
You know, no.
And
if you fired Matt, who's going to be your head coach?
Mike Pettine.
Why? Because he was a head coach before?
Yeah, that's part of it. And part of
he's only a head coach for a season in Cleveland, and then he got fired. I think there's a lot involved in that thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, the owner was mingling. Joe Banner was there then, and Joe got fired, and there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah. Bruce Ali Walter Jordan says, what about Bill Lazor as your head coach? In fact, name him today as the head coach.
No, Bill, you know, I'm all for Bill doing the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he did a good job last year when he took over. I wouldn't be a bit surprised that that happens within the next couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Depending, you know, we got to see how this thing. I don't have a big complaint about the offensive game plan yesterday. I get what they were trying to do. I wish they would have tried to take a couple shots, but again, I don't want to be redundant, but they were trying to protect, not knowing what they had in the offensive line. They're trying to protect the quarterback.
I'm with you. I mean, in fact, Nagy was asked about that today's press conference about running the ball and trying to get David Montgomery up to 20 carries. Well, he had 16. And if the Bears weren't trailing by such a large amount in the fourth
quarter, he went another 6 or 7.
Easily. Yeah, so yeah. I thought
that. And if you look at the total carries, Williams had a bunch of carries too now.
That's right. Damian Williams.
And he had a lot of touches because he caught at least 4 passes.
Right. I was totally impressed with the time of possession, the amount of first downs that the Bears got. The problem was is that they just did not score, and the Bears defense gave up explosive play after explosive play.
Well, I don't like the term explosive play in those cases because that was blown plays.
Well put.
You know, I mean, that was if your coverage is right and you don't blow your coverage, those two plays don't happen.
Mm-hmm. That is well put.
I mean, if you look at him, he's throwing the ball downfield and there's nobody on these guys. They're yeah. all by themselves.
I think that should be a new stat. Pro Football Focus, if you're listening, send Greg Gabriel a check. you can use that.
Yeah, yeah. Don't put those in explosive play column. Put them in blown play column.
There you go. Exactly. All right, Greg, I'm going to let you go. I'm just going to say a couple of things in terms of programming for our people. Thanks again. We will see you here next Monday after the Bears beat the Bengals. That's my prediction. Because you talked me off the ledge. You did. You talked me
well,
off
you're, the ledge. You're still there. I know I talked off.
You're the best.
Yeah, I wasn't talking to myself the last hour at least.
No, you weren't. All right, we'll see you next Monday,
pal. Okay, thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
All right, I just want to let people know that tonight is baseball night at the Barroom. At 7 p.m., it's the Friendly Confines, and it's a 30-minute fast-paced look at the Chicago Cubs. And so what's there to talk about the Chicago Cubs? There's plenty, especially if you're a Cubs fan. So tune in at 7 p.m. live right here on the Barroom Network for Cubs coverage. And then at 7:45, the Southsiders and all White Sox fans around the world, South Burbs Hitmen. What a show. It is catching fire. We see Ozzie Guillen, the former manager of the White Sox, wearing his South Burbs Hitmen hat. We got to send him some more t-shirts and hoodies and all that stuff. He'll probably wear them every day. He loves his South Burbs Hitmen hat. And many thanks to Ozzie Guillen Jr. for making that happen. And the guys over at South Burbs Hitmen, led by Joe Mandel, are just doing a tremendous job. So that is tonight. And then tomorrow, it is back to more live programming with for dedicated to Chicago Bears. And Dan and Aldo Bear Their Souls starts at 7:30. We're also recording the Bear Debate Show tomorrow, late afternoon, early morning. And so that will be posted for you first thing Wednesday morning. And that is the show, our new show, where John Buffone and Tyler Ellis debate each other on various topics. That's going to be explosive. And then I try to separate them. But it's a fast-paced 30, 40-minute show, and that will be available for you Wednesday morning. Tons more programming. The best way to stay on top of it all is to subscribe to the Barroom Network here on YouTube. Is that little bell, hit subscribe, and the bell will give you all the reminders when we're live. And then also make sure you subscribe to our audio podcast network, Barroom Network. You can find that on iTunes, Spotify, you name it, any place that is you get podcasts delivered, we are there for you. Lots of fun. Hopefully the Bears will make it even more fun by getting on a winning streak here. I want to thank everyone who's joined us live. Mule, you're here all the time, man. Thank you very much. And PZ, you're the best as well. I could just go on another 15 minutes thanking everybody that was in the chat room. But I won't. I will instead say tune in tonight for baseball, and then back tomorrow here for more football talk. I gotta now talk Dan Aguirre off the ledge. He's been texting me saying, "Oh no, take care, everyone. See you soon." We'll be right back.